if you have medical concerns, you must consult your medical practitioner at all times. Any information enclosed here is not designed as medical advice. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Understanding and Using Dreams. I'm George, and with me as usual are Eileen.
Hi there.
And Gary.
Hello.
Once again, I remind you we're dream counsellors and healers. And don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can ring me. I'll give you the number later. If you want to discuss a dream briefly, or if you have some issue with healing or that. Now, today we're going to talk about birth, because every dream, as strange as it might seem, every dream, if it's remembered in enough detail, will reflect the circumstances of your birth. Now, most of these dreams, if you look at most dreams now, they have you approaching a building, going into it, interacting perhaps with the people, the men and women in the building, and then coming out. Now, oddly enough, you might find yourself coming out through a narrow window or going up or down in a lift. But the main thing about these dreams is what you look out for is how well you were received. Does the dream take place in a cold country or a warm country? And what is the reaction of the men and the women in the dreams? Because they will play the roles of your parents, not the way your parents actually were, but your perception of how they were and what kind of reception you got at your
so the facts of the matter, the cold facts, you know, may not matter at all to the child, but it's how the child perceives, how they experience it subjectively, is what affects
absolutely the person. Absolutely, yeah. No. Doctors, a medical fraternity will tell you that a child will have no memory of birth, yeah, because his brain is like watery jelly. So how can he be aware of or remember what his birth was all about? But as any midwife will tell you, or any mother, the child is not just aware from the first day. The child is aware even in the womb and is super sensitive and overreacts to every trivial little thing. At the birth, the father might go to the mother first instead of going to the child. The child might regard that as rejection. The mother is expected to bond within the first 20 minutes of the birth, which is a big ask because of the
physical,
what she has to go through.
Yeah, the physical kind of.
But then she has to turn around and give birth. And she has to do this within the first 20 minutes. Again, the child will regard this as rejection.
So the bonding happens then after the birth, as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Now, there might be medical complications why that can't happen, especially the birth of twins. One twin is born and then is put aside before there's any bonding, and the attention is then to the other twin, and then the attention goes back to the first twin. So there's a delay there. And this can cause problems with the child.
It's so important, you're saying, for dad to pick up the child.
Absolutely, vitally important that the father actually picks up, physically picks up the child. And this will be taken as acceptance.
Oh, in fact, I know with a friend of mine that he was saying, like, and not only picking up the child, but now what they do is they go, they take off the shirt and their vest, and the man puts the child to their skin, so skin on skin, so the child even feels more accepted.
Yes.
Which is, actually they do that now in the coom.
I see.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Now, this can cause problems with the heart. If the child doesn't feel accepted, they can feel vulnerable during their lives, and they can develop problems with the heart and circulatory system. And you will sometimes see this in dreams. There was a man telling me his dream. He was driving his car along the South Circular Road. Yes, that would give you a clue. And he says the car was on its last legs. And in fact, he was waiting for the engine to fall out of the car at any minute onto the road. It was so bad. But he comes across a hitchhiker, and he gives the hitchhiker a lift, and then he takes the car into a garage. And he's noticing that the car is losing a lot of oil on the road and that. But he takes it to a garage, and the garage man fixes it up and pays particular attention to the engine of the car. Yes. Now, what would you make of that dream?
The engine is at the heart?
The engine is the heart of the car. So the engine, it represents the heart, yes? And you can see that he needed to be picked up, you see, by the dreamer picking up the hitchhiker.
Yes.
He's healing himself, really, because everything in the dream is yourself.
And the South Circular Road circulatory system, is that?
Yeah, it's the circulatory system. Yes, yeah. It's reminding you of what the dream is all about. But as I say, every dream, if you remember it in detail, will reflect your birth. Why is that? Well, it was at our birth that we decided who we are, what kind of a person we are. Now, remember, the child has no way, the child that's just been born has no way of looking at itself. For all it knows, it might be the ugliest thing in the world. So the reaction of the parents is all important. You know, yeah. If they are delighted with the delivery and they express love and love and bonding from the mother and acceptance from the father, then the child will grow up with a greater sense of self-acceptance. The self-image is very important.
And actually a mirroring in terms of that kind of mirroring of the child and acceptance of the child all the way through those first 5 years continues to be of such importance for the well-being of that child.
Yes.
So how important would it be at birth? Vitally important.
Absolutely. There was another woman telling me her dream. She arrives at a hotel, and I think she said it was in Switzerland or Iceland or somewhere like that. And the manageress of the hotel gave her a very chilly reception. Yes. And the manager of the hotel turned his back on her. He was talking to her over his shoulders, and he just simply said, "Put your valuables in the safe. Your money and your jewellery. Put your valuables in the safe. That's the most important thing."
Okay.
So if you see the mother, her role is played by the receptionist, and the man and the manager is the father. So what do you think effect did that birth have on her? On her life and so on.
Well, she certainly didn't feel very welcome.
That's true, yes.
Yeah.
And the father emphasizing the value of material things.
Okay.
Do you understand? Yeah. Didn't help her either.
And then the fact that it was in a snowy, a country that experiences snow a lot, that added to the chilliness of the reception.
A chilly reception, yes. So what can be done to help the situation? Well, re-entering the dream.
Yeah. Re-entering. Changing the weather.
Yeah, exactly. Changing the weather, yes. You can change anything, of course, when you go back into the dream. So you can change the whole thing around. And you can by talk to the characters involved. Ask the lady behind the counter, the receptionist, what are her issues? Why is she not more pleased to see you arriving?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and ask, talk to the manager about his value system and so on and so forth. Talk it out and change the dream around so that the dream has a happy ending. You can change the dream any way you like.
So maybe give an example of that, George, how she might change that dream around.
Well, she would be guided as to how to change the dream around, yes?
Yeah.
She can get rid of the man altogether, tell him to go and invite a different man in.
One that's kind of warm and welcoming.
Absolutely. You can do what you like, but you will be guided once you go into the dream.
Yeah, but I'm interested in the fact that he asks her to place her jewellery in the safe.
Yes.
Is he putting a price on...
Oh, very good. Yes. Yes, you see, if you think about it for a moment... You get no free meal in a hotel.
Yes.
No such thing as a free lunch.
No such thing as a free lunch, so. Yes. So the mere fact that she has to pay for her stay in the hotel means that she would be under pressure for the rest of her life to achieve in order to feel accepted and wanted and so on. Yes.
So very conditional kind of a lot of conditions.
It's conditional love then.
It's conditional love, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes.
It's very tough.
Yes.
I had a little dream myself, George. I listening to you there, it just reminds me of it. A very short dream, and it has a lot of issues in it.
Of course.
Yeah. I was flying in a plane and I landed before. When I was landing, I came and the plane came underneath a Romanesque arch. Okay, the curved at the top, the Romanesque arch. And I got off the plane. I had lost my bags and I went searching for my bags and I found my bags. Okay, and that was it. I know I was born in Holles Street Hospital.
In Dublin.
So, in Dublin. So I went to Holles Street Hospital and had a look, and round the back in the yard there is a Romanesque arch.
Go away.
So there is.
Yes, that's very interesting.
So my soul was entering my body, coming in.
Yes.
Before my birth.
And that's how it feels like, you know. Yeah. We sort of fly in. No, we can all visualize what it would be like to die. We move out of our bodies.
Yeah.
But we never ask the question, what is it like coming in?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And many people have told me over the years of dreams where they're flying in.
Yeah.
But anyway, usually they're flying in at night time. And they're looking in the people's dreams. They're looking at an airport lit up at lights. Another way, an airport gets lit up at light with lights, and the plane comes down and lands on these lights. Okay. Now I wondered about that from the dreams, and apparently this is the soul coming in and connecting with the fetus. You see. But it does this at an advanced stage in the process, because the lights would represent the chakra system, you see. Oh. And the chakra system has to be established before the soul can fully connect with the body.
And could you explain the chakra system maybe for people?
Well, it's a part of the aura, if you like. It's it's an energy system in the body. We need energy which we bring down from the sun, which comes in as white light, but it gets transformed into different colored energies because the body needs different colored energy. Yes. See, the different parts of the body.
So in the energy body of the body, energy,
it represents the energy body.
But it has a strong effect on the physical body as well.
Absolutely.
And there's seven of them, isn't there, George? Seven of these chakras. So we have the base chakra, red, and then we have the next chakra is orange, which is around like in a woman, a womb area. And then we have the yellow chakra, which would be kind of around your
solar plexus.
Yeah. And then the heart chakra is green or pink. And then the throat chakra, blue.
Expression.
Yeah. And then in your forehead, the third eye, we call it indigo. And then on the crown chakra, violet.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You can find out more about that. You'll find that easily on the internet, all about the chakra system.
Ah, yes.
And actually also in George's first book, which is Healing with Dreams in the New Age, or second book, I should say, Healing with Dreams in the New Age. It's described very extensively there.
Okay. And but anyway, to heal these issues, it's recommended that you go back into a dream. Now, you can do this at any time after having had the dream. Yes, it's very simple to go back. Yes,
in my case there, George, I can see my soul entering my body. Okay, yes. Coming in. But the bags, I'm bringing in influences from previous lives. Is that right?
That's right, baggage. That's the baggage.
I'm bringing in baggage.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I lost them and I went and found them.
Oh, you should have left them lost. I should have. But there's another interesting thing about your dream. The fact that you say it's a Romanesque arch. No, the ordinary person will just say, I went through an arch, if they mentioned it at all, having had that dream.
Yeah.
But because you were a builder in a former life, especially you had a Roman life, obviously, where you were a builder, you would be very technical in your speech and that, you see, and you would be interested in engineering and so on.
And the architecture of the of the actual arch.
Yeah. And this is interesting to look for things like that in dreams, especially in children's dreams, because you'll be able to see what gifts and talents they have by the way they describe the dream.
Yes.
Now, the dreamer might not be aware that they had such gifts or talents, so it's useful to look out for that in dreams. But the process of going back into the dream, it's very simple, but you have to put yourself into a slightly altered state in order to do it. And I describe how to do that in my book, Healing with Dreams, and basically it's I call it the 4-minute meditation. Actually, it can be achieved in a lot less than 4 minutes. You take 4 deep breaths, and then you deepen the altered state by counting down from 10 to 1. And then you simply go into the dream.
And visualizing going down steps helps.
Yes, you're going down the steps and relaxing deeper and deeper with each step. And you simply go back into the dream. Now, you don't have to go into a deep altered state. You can be relaxed. But you're in charge at all times. You know, no matter how deep you go, you're always in charge. And you can come out of the altered state at any time simply by counting up from 1 to 5.
And is it, I mean, there's no sense of being kind of controlled by anything other than your own will, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
So I remember going to you first years ago and 20 years ago and being kind of very nervous. Oh, maybe he could mind control me. But actually, you're kind of conscious as well as being in an altered state, aren't you? Really,
you're
kind
exactly.
of
you're,
two
you're
places.
Functioning in two dimensions at the same time, yes.
So it's completely safe, actually.
Absolutely, perfectly safe. But what you do is you focus on the focal point of the dream. What stands out in the dream? You talk to it. What are you? I'm a hotel.
Yes.
Well, what do you do? Well, I allow people to stay in me, in my structure, for a limited time, and then I release them again.
Yeah.
Okay, so if a female having such a dream would see straight away that this was about her body, yes, our mother's body in the case of re-entering.
So you spend a certain amount of time in your mother's womb.
Exactly. But you have to pay for it, you see. So this is where you would change the dream around.
In that lady's case, she had to pay for it. So then it could be a completely free stay if she changed it around.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. So anyway, there's six questions that you ask. The first question is, what are you? And you can talk to anything. You can talk to inanimate objects or people. What are you?
And even though
you're talking to a person, you'd still say, what are you? I'm a taxi man. Well, what do you do? Well, I help people on their journeys and so on. Do you understand? The first question is, what are you? The second question is, what aspect of me, the dreamer, do you represent? You see? And now, if it's positive, you'd ask, why do I need you in my life at this time? Okay, if you're talking to a bicycle, say, what are you? I'm a bicycle. What do you do? Well, I provide exercise, especially for the circulatory system, because it's two circles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, why do I need exercise at this time then, you see? And you'll get insight into, you get advice and guidance about your health or your lifestyle and what you need to do and what you need not to do. But if it's negative, you ask, what am I doing to myself because of you? Okay, now the lady who feels she has to pay for her stay in the hotel and she has to be building up money and
valuables.
And I should have said it was a very upmarket hotel. So she would be putting herself under pressure.
High expectations.
And yes, she could be stressing herself out to live up to the artificial ideals of the parent. You see?
And stress is something that causes so much illness.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dreams will always indicate how you're stressing yourself, when you're stressing yourself, where you're stressing yourself, and who puts you under stress. So that's a healing in itself to know that, and you can help yourself. Now, the dream, you ask six questions, but the last question is going to be, how do I change this dream around so that I can get the benefit of the healing? Yeah.
Can I ask a question there, George? So, In a sense that you really need to trust your first thoughts, really, when you ask these six questions. What are you? What do you do? What aspect of me do you represent? Then positive, why do I need you? Negative, what am I doing to myself? And how do I change it around? And but you trust those first thoughts. You don't
absolutely
let your conscious mind get too involved in a narrative around it.
Yeah, but this is why you're in the altered state.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy to remember these six questions when you're in a dozy, dreamy state. So it's always a good idea to get somebody else to ask the questions. So this is the advantage of the sleep therapy, where someone is doing this to you, putting you into the altered state at the bedside. Yeah, it's the best place to do it. And the great thing about re-entering your dreams, or sleep therapy, if you want to call it that, is that you can do it to members of the family. You can do it to your children or your partner, which you wouldn't be able to do in the ordinary course of events because they won't take you seriously.
Yeah.
But when they're in the dozy, dreamy state, they'll go along with you and the child will cooperate with you. whereas otherwise, like, you'd have a difficulty getting him or her to cooperate.
And there's no way you're manipulating them. It's just they can always ask for permission, I guess, as well.
Absolutely, yes. Yes. You can't make anyone do anything they don't want to do. But the dream will be pointing out to you the advantages of changing your perception of the past and healing memories. Now, if the other person says, well, look, I can't remember any dreams to go back into, what you can do instead is get a memory, go back into a memory.
Yeah. Even a recent memory, George.
Any memory which will give you an understanding as to why you have the illness. And it might be a chronic illness, but yeah. Even so, like, there will be a memory involved. It might be memory from childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it might be a memory from a former life. But this memory will help you to understand why you have the illness, even if it's a very serious chronic illness.
Yeah.
It will have its basis in a memory somewhere in time.
And even if it seems somewhat innocuous, it can often have been very pertinent to the child that experienced it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And some illnesses, chronic illnesses especially, can arise from a sense of guilt.
Okay.
Yeah, the person might be subconsciously punishing themselves with some serious chronic illness. And it might be all down to guilt, might even be from another life even. Or maybe guilt because of putting mother through the ordeal of giving birth to them or whatever.
If I may just say, George, there are two things in dreams which are a given. The existence of the soul and past lives. And they have a big effect upon us in present day life. Especially if we are, what we say, paying back our karma from something we might have done in a previous life, right? And are determined to be to be destructive on ourselves, which is very serious.
From the subconscious.
This is all subconscious.
Yeah.
All from the subconscious, yes. Of course, yes.
Actually, that's interesting, Gary. My nephew, when he was very small, he would always, my sister-in-law would have been very skeptical about past lives and such things. And she said she changed her opinion because when my nephew was born, her son, he used to talk about when he was an old man. I used to do this, that, and the other. And then he went to play school and he met another little boy.
Yeah.
And he used to speak about when him and this other little boy were in France together.
All right.
So now that, of course, faded away by the time he was about five.
Yeah.
Four or five. That faded away. But he often spoke about when I was an old man, I used to do X, Y, and Z. Isn't that funny?
Yes.
So she changed her opinion very strongly with that. She said, well, I have the evidence.
Absolutely.
Isn't that very interesting?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, George, I interrupt you.
It's interesting what you say there, and I'm thinking back to you with your Romanesque arch, that we all have these abilities that we don't know we have. You know, we can have wonderful gifts. You know, some of us are born to be healers and others are born to be psychics. And apart from that, we can have wonderful talents.
Like musical talent.
Yes, exactly. I'm thinking of Edgar Cayce. You've heard of Edgar Cayce, yes. That's spelled C-R-Y-C-E.
Yeah.
He's known as the Sleeping Prophet.
Yes.
But he was
an American, right?
American, yeah. He was functioning in the 30s and 40s. Okay, but he was a wonderful channel. And he was a shoe salesman. and it was only because he lost his voice and he went to a hypnotherapist who put him into a trance. And then this gift came to the surface. He was speaking with another voice and he was recommending cures for people's illnesses. And in that way, he managed to cure an awful lot of people.
Was he a herbalist?
Yeah, well, it's his guide. that he was channeling, who was the herbalist.
Oh, I see. Yes.
And George, what's a guide, actually? What's a guide?
Well, it's a friend in spirit who is...
guardian angel, you call it.
Yeah, but they're more like technical experts in different fields.
An advisor.
Yeah, they're friends in spirit.
Yeah.
It's a wise aspect that chooses to function through you. And Edgar Cayce's guide was a herbalist.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
He'd be different from Mesmer, who was a healer, an energy healer.
Yes.
But Cayce was a channel, and he was channeling a herbalist, and he healed people by recommending herbs for them, which invariably worked. And and he could also interpret dreams. But when in his waking state, he hadn't a clue about anything like that and had no memory of anything he said. Yeah, and he wouldn't have known this had he not been put into the dream state by the hypnotherapist.
And what was the famous quote, Gary, that Edgar Cayce said? Was it a dream and a letter? What was that quote, the famous quote?
Yeah,
a dream...
unremembered.
Oh, yes.
It's like a letter unread, or a dream not interpreted.
Yes.
It's like a letter unread.
Yes.
Okay. But I would add to that now. I would say a dream that's not re-entered and changed is like a letter that's not answered.
Very good, see, yeah.
Because the dreams are always going to show you what you're doing to yourself. You know, it's like a computer. It's saying, this is what you're doing with your health. This is what you're doing with your relationships.
Yeah.
Is that okay with you? Or do you want to change? But how are you going to reply to the dream if you don't go back into it and change it around? And by changing it around, you're saying, no, it's not okay. It's not okay. I want to change the dream around this way or that way or whatever. And your higher self, the universe, if you like, will take notice of the fact that you're replying to the dream. Dreams were designed to be interactive, like you and your computer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that interactive aspect, that's really quite revolutionary, George, I think, because normally it's about, you know, sort of an abstract idea of what's going on for you interpreting the dream. But actually interacting with it means you have much more agency, in a sense, to have much more agency in your life, in your health, happiness, wealth, luck and success.
Absolutely.
Essentially. Absolutely. So that actually is terrifically empowering. What do you think, Gary?
Yes, yes.
So, that's what dreams are all about. They're trying to empower you or re-empower you. And they're pre-programmed to bring you health, happiness, wealth, luck and success.
Five very important things.
And often we feel we don't deserve these things, either subconsciously or consciously, and we kind of get in our own way.
Absolutely. We will resist the dream. That's the sad part. So when you go back into a dream, you can look at the dream and see, what was the dream trying to do for you? How was it trying to bring you health, happiness, wealth, luck or success? And what were you doing to thwart that and spoil that and so on?
Yes, yeah, so you might refuse something in the dream.
Absolutely.
A gift. Like somebody hands you a gift and you refuse it.
Oh, that's not for me.
Yeah.
Or you're giving back money. You know, a lot of dreams are trying to help you with the financial situation or with business advice and so on. But we'll talk about that another day.
Yes.
So this brings us now to the end of our podcast. And once again, now, if you want to contact me, if you have a dream you're concerned about or any health issue that you want to talk about, you can ring me at the Dublin number 01452272, or you can contact us at healingwithdreams.com.
And George's book is Healing with Dreams, and it's available with from Amazon.de.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.